Well, I thought I'd share briefly with you how it is that we've planted, or I have planted, churches in the East Asia, and how we use the gospel as a team, as a church. So basically, we looked at evangelism as fishing. And anyone can do it, anyone can learn. And it's even more enjoyable in groups, so we would pair people up with a national partner, and Christian, and translator as well. And the charge was to go find a group of people. Just go find a group of people and start up a conversation about cultural and mutual interests. And it's not hard, since Americans in this country make typically good bait, because there are not many Americans, so people come and talk to you. And you might even start with an individual and ask to meet some of their friends. Well, then you start, once you've got a crowd of people, it might be, I don't know, a dozen or two, you start introducing spiritual concepts to see if anyone's going to nibble, take a bite. And you start focusing more and more on those types of people that are interested. And eventually, as you focus on those people, the other people sort of disappear. And then once you've got it narrowed down to those that are interested spiritually, you decide to go out to eat, or you make an appointment for that evening and you have a dinner. And you ask them to invite any friends that they might think want to talk about spiritual things. And we find a restaurant with a big back room where we have plenty of privacy. And then in that private setting, we would have one person share their testimony, the most important part of their life, and the other person would share the gospel clearly with them. And remember, we also had a translator who was a Christian and was very capable as well. And often at this point, you would see the miraculous work of God reeling in his catch. And typically, in a group of a dozen people, we would see one or two people commit their lives to the Lord, and we would see another five or six being willing to meet on a weekly basis to study the Word of God. And so, basically, right away, within a day, you started a new church, or the beginnings of a new church. And eventually, these new believers will join existing churches, or they'll form their own. And our fishing partners take care of the rest, the national leaders, because they know best. And what a joy it is to minister together. So it's a very easy way to share the gospel when you think about it as fishing. Well, in Luke chapter 5, turning your Bibles there, we'll read the passage today. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. So getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out for a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep to let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and we took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners on the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down on Jesus on his knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken, and were also so were the James and John, the son of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you'll be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. So you can see this is an acted out parable. It's really not about fishing, right? It's all about fishing for people. And it's the first discipleship passage in Luke's account. And we're supposed to follow Jesus and join up with him in his mission of rescuing souls for the kingdom of God. So Jesus has established his ministry in Galilee, and he's now inviting his disciples to join them, him. In verses 1 to 3, we see Jesus shows us how to fish for men. In 4 to 7, he shows us how to catch them. And in 8 to 10, he calls us to join up with him. Now, just to recap, Luke began his gospel introducing John and Jesus, the Messiah and his prophet, through their miraculous conceptions, their births, and the prophecies surrounding their ministries. He gave us a brief look at John's ministry of revival and preparation for the Messiah to come. And he told us of Jesus' 40-day fast and trial in the desert as a preparation for his demanding ministry. Luke then provided us with a sample of Jesus' teaching by his inaugural sermon in Capernaum, or in Nazareth, rather. And then he also gave us a sample of Jesus working with the day of power in Capernaum. And Luke keeps moving ahead and tells us now about calling us into ministry together with Jesus. So let's look at the first one. Jesus shows us how to fish for men, verses 1 to 3. So one particular day, many people were listening to Jesus teaching the word of God out in the open, and the crowd was actually getting quite large and pressing in on him. And so he's at this lake, Lake Gennesaret. It's also called the Sea of Galilee in northern Israel. It's about 7 by 13 miles in measurements, with mountains on the east side and Capernaum's on the northwest side. Jesus notices two boats that had recently come in from a night of disappointing fishing. The fishermen were Peter and Andrew and James and John, likely their father and others, and they're washing their nets. So Jesus gets into Simon Peter's boat and asks him to put out a little so he can teach better. And this was actually a common method or style of rabbinical teaching. And Jesus knows exactly what he's doing and planning to do with Peter and his companions. And he knows what Luke would do with this story, even for us today. So let's be observant. Notice Jesus' teaching is mentioned twice in verse 1 and verse 3. It sort of forms bookends to the introduction to the story. He's teaching the word of God and opening and closing of the subsection here. And he continues his teaching just like he said in the last passage we looked at in Luke 4:43. He said to them, "I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for this was the reason I was sent." And he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. Well, Luke, by using the descriptive phrase, word of God, is emphasizing that Jesus' teaching was from God. That's its origin. And it came with divine authority. And Luke is also showing us how to best catch or best fish for men. And that's by using the word of God. That's the best means to fish, to get a conversation going, is to bring up scripture. And that's exactly what Jesus is doing, you realize. He's fishing and catching men right there in front of them, rescuing them from the sea of humanity and pulling them into his kingdom. Now, the situation was a model for certain fishermen who had previous encounters with Jesus. In Mark and in Matthew are very similar stories of calling of two sets of brothers, Peter and Andrew and James and John. Let me read Mark's to you. "And as he was going along by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net in the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.' And they immediately left their nets and followed him. And going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were also in the boat mending their nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with their hired servants and went away to follow him." Now, in trying to put these passages together, that with this one in Luke, it's possible that Matthew and Luke are telling the same story. But Luke has a story in a very brief form. And even placing more chronologically as prior to the Capernaum power, day of power. Well, then Luke would be desiring to tell the story further, so he saves it for later and his introduction of Jesus' ministry, and makes clear Peter's prominent role among the apostles and emphasizes their total abandonment. So if they're talking about the same story. However, it's possible there are two different experiences because the disciples had many experiences with Jesus before they fully followed him. And so it's very possible that Matthew and Mark's episode then did occur before Capernaum and Luke's afterwards. And it's likely that the calling of these men involved multiple meetings anyway. It appears that Peter and Andrew and John and others had earlier contact anyway through John the Baptist with Jesus. It's really hard to decide, and maybe someday we'll know more about the placement of them. But Jesus shows us how to fish for men, very simply in this first part. He lures people to listen to him, And then he uses scripture and reasoning to actually bring in fish. He knows that the catch will come soon enough if the Father calls them and the Spirit convicts and converts them. Of course, the fishermen don't get all this yet, and Jesus has more to reveal in the situation. So we'll leave it to where it is and let it unfold. So next, Jesus shows us how to catch men. He issues a strange command. He says, and when they had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets. So after Jesus finished teaching, he told Simon to go out again into the deep water and that they should all let down their nets for a catch. Now, hopefully you get the irony here. Jesus is a carpenter. He's not a fisherman. But he's so certain of this time and this method and even the catch itself. But they've already fished all night long and caught nothing. So knowing how the story turns out, that these experienced fishermen caught nothing all night, but then at the word of Jesus, they catch a lot, it makes you wonder if Jesus actually appeared in the story before the story happened. And by making all those fish run away from those nets all night long. So Simon Peter made these facts clear that now in the daytime, it's even less likely they're going to catch anything. But since Jesus is the master and Peter's in charge, that they'll do as he says. So this is the first step of discipleship, really becoming a good fisherman of men, is to obey the strange, even crazy orders from our master. When you think about it, Jesus commissioned his church to go to the ends of the earth where it's hard work, where people have never heard of him, have no context, many don't want to hear, and most are idolaters. But when the church obeys and goes and prepares and sacrifices, the experience is one of wild blessings and an ingathering of new brothers and sisters in Christ. Well, Jesus directs a miraculous catch in verses 6 and 7. And when they had done this, they closed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to the partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled the boats so that they began to sink. So when they'd done as Jesus has requested, their nets were full. It was so large they were starting to break, and they had to call for help. So maybe their partners, James and John in the other boat, or on the shore or trailing along, came and helped them. And both boats get so full of fish, they're almost sinking. It's a miraculous catch, both the timing and the amount. Just at Jesus' word, notice. At Jesus' word, they catch the fish. Jesus truly is Lord of the catch. And he commands fishermen and fish all around the world. Many fishing partners are actually shouting across the ocean, come and help us haul in the catch. Especially it's true in South Asia and East Asia. And certainly other fishing holes, too. There are just so many. Even unexpected places to fish and catch. Many places where fish just keep coming in. Now, most of us can't get over to help ourselves. But we can send. We can pray. We can support. And we can even apply the principle in our own little corner of the world. Move around in different groups of people. And make sure that we're fishing with biblical truth. And realize that Jesus is the Lord of the catch, and it's all miraculous. We're just responsible to fish. That's it, not to catch. That's Jesus' work. So we may think we're experts in evangelism, but truly Jesus is the master evangelist. And he shows us that he actually controls the catch. It's not our wisdom. It's not our strength. It's not our strategies. He commands us to go and make disciples, that is to go and do our gospel fishing. But he reminds us that catching men is always a miraculous event, whether few or many. We are to follow Jesus by joining him on his mission of rescuing souls for the kingdom of God. Well, lastly, Jesus calls us up to join up with him in verses 8 through 11. So it begins here, but when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. So Simon's just overwhelmed. in the face of this miracle of God, and he knows that he's in God's presence, and he falls down and he calls Jesus Lord. And Simon asks Jesus to leave because he's a very sinful man. He knows how sinful he is, even at his core. It's like the cry of Isaiah. Then I said, woe is me, for I am ruined, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Well, Simon's overwhelmed with his own sin, and even more, he's just a sinful being. But of course, this is why Jesus came from heaven to earth, to save sinners. In Luke 5:31, Jesus answered and said to them, it is not those who are well who need a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And in Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. So as is displayed by Simon, this is how everybody has to come to Jesus. We have to sense and repent of our sin. We must accept Jesus for all of who he is, the Son of God, the cross that he endured for our redemption, and the resurrection to glory that he experienced. We must all fearfully fall down before Jesus in faith and call him Lord. That's how we become saved. So this amazement is shared by all of Simon's companions too. We notice Luke's point that amazement at Jesus continues to grow. So I don't know if you've noticed it, but in Luke so far, the shepherds were astonished, amazed. The temple teachers were amazed. The synagogue congregations were both amazed. But basically, everybody who's encountered Jesus in the Gospel of Luke so far has been amazed, according to Luke. Amazed. Are you amazed? God can use greatly those repentant sinners who are amazed at him, amazed at Jesus Christ. Well, then Jesus commissions with a promise. Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men. And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. So Jesus tells Simon not to fear, but informs him that from now on, he's going to join him in catching men, which is his new vocation. In reality, they're all being called to a very special ministry, we know, to be a part of the 12, to be the apostles. And they would become great fishermen, and we can read about that in the book of Acts. They left everything and followed Jesus. And theirs was perhaps the most radical discipleship of all. But Jesus calls us all to join up with him to a degree. Yes, we recognize this is a special group of men that Jesus is putting together, but they still serve as a pattern for us. The response sets a pattern regardless of our degree of calling to follow and catch fish. Luke is writing this to the church, desiring us to reflect upon the calling of the 12 and the broader meaning of all who would follow Jesus and call themselves his disciples. Luke will certainly fill us in as he takes us through the rest of his gospel account. But for now, we should know that all of us are called to continual engagement in evangelism. But it's important to recognize not all of us are called to it to the same degree or even with the same gifts. But what an opportunity we've been given and a calling that we share together to join up with Jesus in this task, to join him in his mission of rescuing souls for the kingdom of God. Well, this was no ordinary fishing trip. But you didn't expect it would be, would you, with Jesus? Jesus always turns the ordinary into the extraordinary. And this is our first discipleship passage in Luke's gospel account, and it's a call to mission. And this miracle of catching fish is really an acted out parable. And all parables have an implicit call to action. What's the call to action from this parable? It's to say, we will. We will follow you, Jesus, by joining you in your mission of rescuing souls for the kingdom of God. Now, there's another famous fishing miracle episode in John 21. It was a different experience after Jesus' resurrection. Yet it was a purposeful recalling of their calling, of their first experience of being fishers of men with Jesus. The risen Lord Jesus is recommissioning them for the future and reminding them of his fishing lessons. So if you have a Bible, you can turn to John 21. I'm going to read a few verses. John 21, 1 and following. After these things, Jesus manifested himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and he manifested himself in this way. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, the two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We also come with you." They went out and got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the day was now breaking, Jesus stood on the beach, yet the disciples didn't know it was him. Jesus therefore said to them, "Children, do you not have any fish with you?" They answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you'll find a catch." They cast therefore, and they were not able to haul it in because it was a great number of fish. That disciple therefore whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord." And so when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put his outer garment on, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards away, dragging the net full of fish. And so when they got up on the land, they saw a charcoal fire already laid and fish placed on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have caught." Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land, full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Very similar miracle. Reminding them of their calling and reminding them of this event in Luke 5. So our Lord Jesus is the master fisherman of men. A couple lessons that we learned today. One is that he actually controls the catch. We don't control it. So it's not our wisdom, it's not our strength, it's not our strategies that are to be praised at the end of the day when people come to faith in Christ. It's only praise goes to God. Yet at the same time, fishing is a skill. And so is evangelism. And we can learn from Jesus as we watch him. And we learn that it requires faith, patience, requires you to practice it. It requires courage and much more. And you can grow in your skill at fishing for men. But again, the part about actually catching them is always to be seen as miraculous. And so catching fish ought to cause us to be overwhelmed with Jesus, not overwhelmed with ourselves. And the joy we experience ought to compel us to give up more and more of our life to this mission, whatever level he calls us. So Jesus promised them, you notice here, not just a fishing adventure. He didn't promise them an adventure. He promised them that they would actually catch men. They would actually catch men. And only he can make such a promise with such certainty, not just hopeful probability. The key verse is verse 10. Do not fear, for now on you will be catching men. There's great freedom and a whole lot more fun in fishing when the catch is Jesus' concern. Find the hole where the fish are biting and fish it out. And if you're not having any luck, don't stay in that group of people too long. It's a waste of your time. Move on so you can catch something. You can always change lures and types of bait and style for a while. Maybe, but you can always come back to another time. But go fishing in your conversations with people. And remember to use the Word of God to finally haul in the catch. Let me pray for you. Oh, Lord Jesus, we praise you that you're the Lord of the catch, that you were involved in the real physical experience here in Luke 5. And also, you are teaching a lesson by the whole experience about fishing for men. And you teach us how to fish. You teach us that you're the Lord of the catch, and you teach us that we have to respond by joining up with you and fishing for men and women in this world. And we pray that you'd put that burden on our hearts this morning, that you'd make us want to be fishers of men. In Jesus' name, amen.